Coming up, the next best thing to being there, our next guest paint a picture for us of the iconic Five Finger Lighthouse. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. This is Rhonda McBride. Thanks for being here with us today as we take you to the Five Finger Lighthouse, which sits on a rocky outcrop 75 miles south of Juno and 45 miles north of Petersburg. Well, there's no place like it anywhere. A beacon of safety since 1902, and now in need of protection itself from the ravages of time. Jeff Erickson and Oren Pearson are members of the Five Finger Lighthouse Society, here to tell us about efforts to raise money for the lighthouse. Well, Jeff, the lighthouse is in so many ways iconic, but can you set the scene for us? Give us an appreciation of just how special this place is.
The Five Finger Lighthouse sits on a remote island, and it's very hard to access the island because it's built on a rock, and its steep sides prevent people coming on the island when it's rough out. So really the only time you can get there is when the weather is really ideal.
Was that a very treacherous area for boats?
Yeah, and it is. And it started in 1902, and it was right around the time that gold was discovered, and there was more and more shipping. The powers to be had chosen this place to put a light, and it's seen from all different directions, up to 18 miles away. It's still used today as a beacon for navigation.
Can you describe, Oren, what I would see if I were approaching it by boat?
Yeah, it's out in the deep part of Frederick Sound, and it's one of a couple of really small islands, the Five Finger Islands. If you were flying overhead, if you were a bird, and if the tide was low, you would see these islands almost shaped like the bony hand of a skeleton reaching out from the deep part of Frederick Sound. On the biggest of those bony little islands, or on the southernmost rather, you would be greeted by a lighthouse, a white lighthouse made out of concrete in a Art Deco style. It's a style unique to Alaska, because Five Finger Lighthouse is the oldest lighthouse in Alaska. It burned down in the extreme winter of 1933 and then was rebuilt thanks to New Deal and the Public Works Administration. And that's why it has this concrete construction in this Art Deco style, a style unique to Alaska, and a style that you see in a few other lighthouses around the state as well. Behind this white spike of concrete with a nice gleaming cupola at the top, you'd see some tall spruce trees that have grown on this little spike of granite. Basically, it's the summit of a big underwater mountain, and it's just the granite summit that pokes out, and the lighthouse is built over the top of it. Spruce trees, their trunks and roots wrap over the top of the jagged granite summit. That's all there is on there, just birds flying around. There's no mammals except, like me, this summer when I volunteered as the lighthouse keeper, as the only mammal living on the island. But marine mammals all around, whales, seals, otter, sea lions, orcas, cruising around. But it's a strange place.
What did you feel when you stayed there? What an amazing opportunity.
Yeah. I felt grateful mostly. It's so quiet out there too. You know, we had some crummy weather this summer, which was an amazing and strange opportunity to be out there. As Jeff mentioned, visitors can really only reach the lighthouse when it's flat calm, really. But I was fortunate to be out there in rough weather, the wind shaking all the trees and feeling the building groan under the weight of it, and just the thunderous crashing of waves onto the rocks on the island. And then the silence when those calm down, and the sound of humpback whales snoring underwater. And it's a mystifying place. sunset in every direction and sunrise and those glory beams coming out of the clouds over every little island. It is the most beautiful place I've ever been.
I have heard of people being able to stay out there, aside from being the lighthouse keeper like Oren was. Are there other opportunities to spend the night there and kind of have that same mystical experience?
Yeah, so right now, if you're a board member or have a membership in our society, you can go out to the island. We need to have a lighthouse keeper out there. Mainly our infrastructure is in need of repairs. The electrical is what we're working on right now. And we're actually doing a fundraiser to raise money to get a new battery bank. And those battery banks are quite expensive. I mean, we're talking $18,000 to $20,000, but it would really enhance the ability to have people living out there. So I just want to mention too that Jennifer Klein and Ed McIntosh were of Juno, were instrumental in 1997 to make this a reality, taking it from the Coast Guard's hands and making it privately owned 501c3 partnership with people in Juno. Their main goal was to make it a bed and breakfast, and did outstanding work for preserving the island's history and preserving the buildings, and went a long ways to getting grants to make it available for people to spend the night. And then upon their deaths, 2017 and 2019, we've taken over in Petersburg. We've got a group of about 6 board members, and I think we're over 60 people now, membership. And we're striving to maintain a working lighthouse, you know, quite expensive. We can only reach it really from beginning of May until the end of September. In the winter months, it's almost impossible to get there.
So long ago and far away, who was the lighthouse keeper in those winter months? Did they just stay the whole winter?
Oh, yeah. So this was the first lighthouse built in Alaska. And for the first 39, I guess, years of its existence, it was a government agency called the U.S. Lighthouse Service, and it would be a lighthouse keeper and 2 assistant keepers, and they would just live there for years, years and years. I think one guy lived there, I might have been like 15 years. And then in 1939, the Coast Guard took over all the lighthouses in the United States, and it would be a crew of 6 Coast Guard service members staying 365-day stretches out at the lighthouse, and that was until 1984. So from 84 to 97, it was just empty. And that's why it took so much manpower and organizing and fundraising and volunteers to bring it up to a condition where it had the prospect of surviving into the future, but also accommodating visitors.
Jeff, it sounds like the lighthouse still needs a lot of TLC and $18,000 for the electrical system. How can we help? What can we do if we want to keep this iconic lighthouse alive for future generations?
Well, right now we are in the midst of a online art auction, and we asked some local artists to make some paintings and some other artsy stuff that they donated to the lighthouse. And we were going to have a in-person auction, and then we decided not to do that during this time of COVID. All the art is displayed online at the Five Finger Lighthouse Society Bidding Owl. It's going to go through October 31st, and you can get online and view the art and make a bid on it. And the artists have put out some really cool stuff. It's really nice to see it in person, but I think you can see what's going on online. And that's what we're doing now. Anytime you want to be a member, you can get on our web page and sign up to become a member, and then you can also sign up to come out and do some volunteer work in the summer, and you can contact us and we can work you into a work party, and that gives you an opportunity to come out to the lighthouse, check out all the cool stuff that's out there, and also do a little bit of work. If you get a chance to get out there, you instantly fall in love with the place. And most people say, what can I do to spend more time out here? So if you're lucky enough to get out there on a good day, I think you'll be hooked.
All righty. And what is that web address so everybody knows exactly where to go immediately after they hear this interview?
Go to the Lighthouse's website, fivefingerlighthouse.com. You'll find the form to become a member and make a donation to the Lighthouse. You'll find links to the online art auction, which is one of those bidding owl auctions, but you can find it from the website, fivefingerlighthouse.com. Check out the art. There's over 40 beautiful artworks, and it's the first big fundraiser for the Five Finger Lighthouse Society. And any contribution through membership or bidding on some of this great art makes all the difference in the world for creating a future for this beautiful lighthouse.
Well, there's not much time left to the end of the month to make your bid, but I guess people can always join at any time. I want to thank you, Jeff Erickson, a board member with the Five Finger Lighthouse Association, and Oren Pearson, who's a volunteer and was also a lighthouse keeper. Thanks very much for being here with us today. And also, good luck with your fundraiser.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Thanks, Rhonda. Appreciate your help.
Up next, a change of scenery from the beauty of nature to the spookiness of Halloween. How one Juno writer's children's book has been turned into a short animated film.